This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, sitting in for Terry Gross. Best-selling writer and humorist Garrison Keillor's latest novel, Lake Wobegon's Summer 1956, is now out in paperback. It's set in the fictional town he made famous on his long-running public radio program, A Prairie Home Companion. It's about a 14-year-old named Gary, who, like more than a few boys that age, has discovered pornography and his own sexual urges. In Gary's case, this comes with a big sense of shame. He hides what he's reading and what he's thinking and worries that he's headed straight to hell. At the same time, he's found another lonely but deep passion. He's discovered that he loves to write. Gary has gotten his hands on his own typewriter, he started writing about sports for the local paper, and he started to experiment with different ways of describing the world around him just for the fun of it. Terry spoke with Keillor last year when Lake Wobegon's Summer 1956 was first published. Their conversation included a brief reading from the book, with Garrison himself setting the scene.
Here's a boy who's 14 years old sitting on a porch in the summer of 1956 in Lake Wobegon. He's holding a copy of Fox's Book of Martyrs, required reading among fundamentalists, and tucked into the book is a magazine, a gift from a classmate, High School Orgies, with suggestive stories of people who suddenly fell in love and in the next minute were naked, and some photographs of them. This pornographic magazine and the pictures of naked people makes the boy remember how he himself looks in photographs and in a home movie that Daddy took last Christmas. I look like a tree toad who was changed into a boy, but not completely. There's still plenty of toadness there. The dark amphibian eyes blinking, the pipe stem arms and wrists, the high water pants, the flappy clown shoes, the Herkimer hair, the steel rim glasses. No sensible woman would marry a guy this creepy. Take a look, and you see this person will never be a normal American. He will live alone and suffer from psoriasis and hemorrhoids and halitosis and earn dollars at home through taxidermy and selling salve. And he will never have true friends, only other geeks who remind him too painfully of himself. But what choice does he have? So he meets them at the spastic center to compare stamp collections, play chess, solve algebra problems, do geek-type things. He may never obtain a driver's license. He'll ride his Schwinn bike to and from Ralph's Pretty Good Grocery, and his old classmates will zoom past in their late-model cars and think, whatever happened to old Gary, the creepo, the spaz? Haven't seen hide nor hair of him for years. Zoom, and there I am, the old guy on a bike, the old galoot who totes his necessaries around in a plastic bag, a rubber band around his pants leg, reflective tape plastered on the sleeves and back of his plaid jacket, a reflector pinned to the back of his hunting cap, eating a Little Debbie snack cake. You thrill me so, she whispered as she kissed him, her back arched, her luscious orbs gleaming in the moonlight. This type of thing will not happen for that guy any more than he will sing and dance in a Broadway musical. That guy's love stick will never be a love stick that any babe thinks of with anything but mute disgust. The high school orgy story about the boy in home ec class, this will not happen for me. The girls are sewing dresses, and the boy sews a tiny leopard skin bathing suit and models it for them. The girls inspect it closely, admiring the handiwork. And suddenly he bursts a seam, and soon they're all naked, their love juices flowing. I find this tremendously exciting, those girlish fingers poking at his pouch. I am going to hell. This is becoming increasingly clear. As Aunt Flo says, you don't get to be a Christian by sitting in church any more than sleeping in a garage makes you a car. What sort of Christian can open up high school orgies to the picture of the home ec girl's breasts with pointy nipples and feel that happy twitching in his shorts?
Garrison, thanks for reading that. And that's an excerpt of Garrison Keillor's new novel, Lake Wobegon Summer, 1956. Is this a new turn for you, writing about a boy who's learning about sex and is constantly being aroused by what he reads and is, of course, constantly guilty by reading it and by being aroused by it?
I'm going to just sit here and cry for a while, I think. That passage that you made me read was much too personal and makes me feel terrible. But that's why I went into radio. And yes, it is a new turn, and it all started back the last time we talked. And you asked me a question, which you then sort of withdrew, about my sexual awakening. And it was your withdrawal of the question, as if this might even be an embarrassing thing to talk about, or too personal or something, that made me think, maybe I ought to write about that. So I did. Wrote a book about myself, and then surrounded myself with all of these fictional people.
Well, did you have to, like, steel yourself to write about the discovery of sexuality? Was it really difficult, painful, too personal?
It's painful to think of how I looked at the age of 14, but it's very pleasant to write about this particular summer, a summer in which the discovery of erotic feelings and a sweet romance with my own cousin was all tied in with becoming a writer and experiencing life as best you can when you're 14 in a small town in the Midwest.
Garrison, I'm still kind of thinking about what you said, that it was that question about awakening to your own sexuality that led you to think about writing this book. I mean, if that's true, I'm wondering, like, when you came across something that seemed too personal to discuss, is that when you thought, well, maybe if it makes me uncomfortable, I should go there, I should get deeper into it?
It didn't make me uncomfortable, it made you uncomfortable.
Well, it made me uncomfortable because I thought it made you uncomfortable.
No, you were the one who withdrew the question. And that made me think, maybe I've become too avuncular in my old age. And
I see.
People don't think that that I am capable of this sort of thing, or think that this never happened. Perhaps because I'm from Minnesota and grew up in a small town, this Philadelphia sophisticate believes that I'm not capable of having had these feelings.
We're used to being
patronized out here on the prairie, so that was the conclusion I leaped to.
Well, I'm really interested in the books that the character in your novel is reading, which I imagine is similar to the books that you were reading when you were in your very early teens. And these are books that describe breasts as orbs, and men have their manhood or their joystick, and there are many, many other synonyms in there. What were some of the books that you came across during that era of your life?
Pornography, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't have any. I think that when I was 14, I came across, in a used bookstore, I came across some nudist magazines. These were blurry black and white photographs of people on a distant hillside who were not wearing clothes. It took a lot of imagination to be aroused by this sort of thing. And when I was 14, I had an incredible imagination. So I found that exciting. But the sort of writing that you're referring to, this antique pornographic writing, I had to invent in the book. I was a very chaste person in most ways when I was 14.
You know, one of the magazines he's reading is Wild is High School Orgies, and I think there's another one that's like Library Orgy or Orgy in the Library. And I remember when I was a girl, one of my friends found a book hidden away in her father's dresser or something that was called Wild Orgy. And of course, we didn't know what an orgy was, and I assumed that this was about a wild guy named Orgy, kind of like Porgy.
Yes.
I mean, who knew about this stuff? So I was wondering if you had that experience of ever like discovering literature that was really intriguing to you, but was at the same time kind of like over your head sexually.
I discovered a manual in my parents' dresser drawer under some clothing. I guess I must have been looking for it, right? Why else would I have gone in there?
Looking for Christmas gifts.
I guess. I found a manual, and it was... for a manual back then, it was fairly explicit. And it used those words, which I found so exciting, just the words themselves. I guess that's how you grow up to be a writer, is when simply the word penis and the word coitus, the word vagina, are thrilling to you.
No one ever thinks that way about pornography, that it's a wonderful thing for a young person to stumble on. They'll learn a lot about language and the power of writing. But do you think that there's actually some real truth to that?
It's writing that has a big effect on you when you're young. And then you quickly move beyond it, or you're supposed to, or you learn to be secretive about it. But it has a... It has a huge effect. The effect of secrets being revealed and forbidden things talked about, and a door opened onto a scene that you were not meant to witness. This is a powerful tonic for a young reader who has read acres of stuff that is pretty predictable and in which a moral, a good moral, is painstakingly laid out, and you can see it coming a mile ahead.
Garrison Keillor speaking with Terry Gross. They'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back to more of Terry's interview with Garrison Keillor. His new novel, Lake Wobegon, Summer 1956, is now out in paperback.
Well, your character decides in advance on some of the words he wants to make sure he uses in the story. Words like auspicious, thwart, drowse, entreaty, pliant, incipient. Did you do that when you were writing about sports, have lists of words you wanted to incorporate into the story?
Oh, sure, because in the Reader's Digest, which we took in our home, there was this regular monthly feature, what was it called? Building Your Word Power. And each month they gave you a list, with definitions, of course, of 10 words of that sort, auspicious, hairy, sortie. And it was your task to work them into conversation. Yes, I did that as a kid. It was odd to be a little guy sitting around the supper table with your parents and your siblings and trying to get the word abstruse in there somehow.
And did you ever try to write softcore porn yourself?
I didn't, because I knew that I didn't have any experience that could be put down on paper and that other people would find exciting.
Mm-hmm.
That took a while. And then by the time I did have erotic experience, I had gone down the road of writing humor. And humor and eroticism don't work together.
Well,
did I just make a profound point? Or
no, I was thinking not necessarily.
Are we changing tapes?
No. I was just kind of trying to think whether that was true or not. And I was thinking they don't work together in an arousing kind of way, but it can be very funny. I mean, writing about sex can be very funny, as you prove in the book.
If it is funny, then it's not erotic.
Right, right. It's not a turn-on. Right.
If a woman having sex laughs out loud,
that's not a good
herself,
thing.
How does the guy feel about this? Let's stop and think about that. I've heard of this happening, and laughter is not erotic.
Your character in the novel kind of falls in love with his slightly older cousin, and you said you had a cousin who you actually had a relationship like this with. What happened to her? Am I giving too much away if I say what happens to the cousin in the novel?
No, I don't think so.
She has a boyfriend who's part of this kind of rebellious, adventurous, ne'er-do-well type family. And she gets pregnant out of wedlock with her boyfriend. And, of course, you know, the family is just terrified and devastated. And suddenly they're going to become like the kind of people they read about in the tabloids, or something, you know, very awful has happened.
Except the boy is not terrified.
No, he's not. It's a big adventure to him.
The boy thinks to himself, go do whatever you're going to do, and I will write about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did your sister get pregnant like, your cousin, I mean, get pregnant like this?
No.
Why did you want this to happen to the character?
it simply is what happened to the character. She comes into the book at the very beginning. The boy is in love with her, and he admires her. She's a free spirit. She's a rebel. She's not afraid to get into trouble at school. She enjoys being in trouble, whereas he finds it humiliating. So he admires her courage, the courage to act up and to misbehave and to express yourself in flamboyant ways, which she does. For this girl in this town at that time, it seemed to me, writing the book, the most natural thing in the world,
right,
that an older boy, he's 19, pitcher for the baseball team, would fall in love with her, and that her next great adventure would be in the front seat of his Pontiac. And it would have the outcome that all young women feared back in the 1950s. Women who were raised properly, of course.
When you started writing stories based on people you knew and what your family did and all of that, did you feel that as a writer it kind of gave you permission to not engage as fully in life, but rather to stand back and be the recorder of life?
If you look, as I looked when I was 14 years old, you have a tendency to hang back anyway. I was terribly shy, just painfully, excruciatingly shy as a boy. I had a terrible time just walking into a room, opening a door and walking into a room in which I knew there were people was painful for me. And I was related to those people. I mean, I knew them all. They were not strangers. They were not a jury. So for a person who is unable to be a part of social life, you may as well take notes. Give yourself something to do, and And then you can go back and rewrite everything that happened to you.
Garrison Keillor's autobiographical novel, Lake Wobegon, Summer 1956, is now out in paperback. This is Fresh Air.